And welcome to another edition of the E-Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce. We appreciate you joining us each and every week as we talk about engagement, encouragement, entertainment, education, elected officials, all of the things that make the E-Factor or make our community viable and certainly stronger through the E-Factor. And those are the things that we believe, especially engagement in a community that can really make a difference, can really make an impact. You know, you can sit on the sidelines all day long, but to get in the race, to get into the fight, to get into a participatory element in your community is a whole different ball game, no pun intended. And doing that right here in Frankfort and in Clinton County is a young man that I want to introduce to you right now. His name is Kevin Evans. Kevin is the director of Center Township, and Kevin is he's a Clinton County and that's come back to his roots here in Frankfort, Indiana. Welcome, Kevin.
Thanks.
I appreciate you joining us today on the E-Factor, and I want to just real quick give us a little bit of background about you, your family, why you decided to move back, and kind of how you were raised here in Frankfort. And you're a hot dog, right?
I am a hot dog. And when I was in high school, I was in the musicals and played tennis. I was the lead in the musical my senior year. Went to Bye Bye Birdie last night, and that was really great to see those high school kids taking ownership in Bye Bye Birdie. It was a great play. So if you haven't seen it yet, go out and see it. I think it's going on this week. But we moved back here about 3 years ago from Jeffersonville, Indiana. And we got a call from Frankfort Community Schools.
We being?
My wife and
okay,
I.
Okay, all right.
And we had a child at the time, one. Now we have two. So my son is three, and my daughter will tell you she's two, but she's one and a half, so she's almost two. But we moved back here about 3 years ago from Jeffersonville. Got a phone call from Community Schools of Frankfort saying, hey, we've got these special ed jobs open. Are you interested in moving back home? And we dropped our house in Jeffersonville and moved back to Frankfort, Indiana within, I think, 4 days. So still have a house in Jeffersonville. We rent it out. We've been very lucky there. Great renters for the last 3 years. And so it was a great opportunity to move back home here to Frankfort.
Well, tell me a little bit about prior to moving to Jeffersonville and you growing up here in Frankfort and in Clinton County, what was that like? And tell me a little bit about your family dynamics and where you come from, because I think that really is your testimony, Kevin, your story, of your passion of helping people, of really the scenario that you had, the opportunities you had, the you know, the losses you had, the gains you had, all those that make up life.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've had drug issues in my family. I have family members that have drug issues even still to this day. I didn't grow up in high wealth. I didn't grow up in medium wealth. We grew up moving around a lot when I was younger. I used to live above the building where my office is now, which is kind of weird when Phil Hevelon owned those apartments. Grew up in those, but really had experiences related to my parents being off and on, and not really sure kind of what was going on at a young age and being able to experience that. And so I can really identify with the people that live in our community that aren't always fortunate to have the blessings and things that I have now. Coming from the experiences I had when I was younger. Grew up on Clay Street over in the apartment building of, I don't know what, 559?
North?
The big apartment building that is not necessarily in great shape right now, but grew up in that. Grew up really just moving around Frankfort and what I would deem the low-income housing that we have. My dad, I was 10 by the time my parents had bought their first house. Which recently they lost to foreclosure, but I was 10 when they bought their first house and luckily had somewhere stable to live after 10 years old. My grandmother was a big influence in my life, and I think that's why in my job now I like to hold people accountable and try to guide and direct them, because my grandmother was that person for me. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for my grandmother, you know, she bought my tennis rackets when I wanted to play tennis. She was helping me memorize my lines when I wanted to do the high school musical. She was that person that was guiding me and trying to show me a different way of life. Because like I said, you know, my family members have addictions and habits and different issues that they've had for years. And so trying to get out of that cycle is sometimes difficult if you don't have the right mentors and the right guidance. And my grandmother, who passed away a little over a year ago, was that person for me.
Yeah. Grandmas are great. I had one of those grandmothers that were constantly holding me accountable and helping me make better choices as well. So some similar backgrounds as well. You know, Kevin, engagement is part of the E factor. That's a big part of our program, being engaged. Of course, we know part of engagement comes back down to choices. And I think choices that are made, whether you're young, whether you're middle-aged, or whether you're, you know, older, regardless, those choices, we have to live by those consequences of those choices. I appreciate your candidness, your willingness to be honest and open, because some people say, oh my goodness, he's talking about his family. He's talking about, but you know, that's one of the issues that we have in society, that sometimes we're pretensive. And I think it's time that we kind of take the mask off and that we try to be more transparent in our world today and really recognize where we come from. But that doesn't mean that's where you're going. You know, just because of bad situations that have taken place, that doesn't define you. It may help define you in the sense of building you and building your character, but it doesn't necessarily define you. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. And I think when I talk about my parents or my background or who helped raise me, it's not to say my parents did a terrible job of raising me. Mm-hmm. It's to say there's different ways for different people to, mm-hmm. somebody has to connect with you to help you change.
Yeah.
And like I said, that person for me was my grandmother. Now we've tried to be that person for other family members in my family. Mm-hmm. Since moving back to Frankfort in Jeffersonville, when you're away, you know, you don't always know everything that's going on.
You're kind of shielded from all that.
Yeah. And my grandmother wouldn't call me and be like, all this is going on right now. She wants me to live my life down there. And so you kind of have this daydream that things are kind of going good.
Yeah.
So when I move back, and my wife would be a huge person to testify to this, it's not been easy moving back with family, because you have those drug issues. And we had a family member that's very close to me steal about $2,000 from my bank account and moving back and to support some habits. We've had all of our siblings live with us since we've moved back here, trying to help people. And we've tried to help people in our family, but I think it's also important to help people outside of our family.
Yeah.
And that's what led me to the Center Township job. You know, I think helping people is the foundation of what, I'll go to my biblical roots here, what Jesus did. And I think that's what he modeled for us as, things we should do in our daily life. And that's what I try to do to the individuals that come into my office or into my life, is really try to help them and guide them along their walk and try to help them see some light. Because a lot of those people have lost hope. And really, I think that's what we are. We're hope instillers. And I tell people all the time, we're not here to give a hand out. We're here to give a hand up. And without the hand up, people are going to struggle.
We're talking to Kevin Evans. He's the Center Township Director here in Frankfort, Indiana, Clinton County. Kevin, I'll have to make sure we get that. We got a little call going on here. Sorry about the interruption, folks. But, you know, Kevin, we talked about the importance of choices, engagement. You had your grandmother being a mentor to you. You also moved back when you came back basically because of your educational opportunities. Then you got involved with The Crossing, which is an alternative school here that we have here in Frankfort, Indiana. And The Crossing has made a huge impact. And you were director of the campus there for about a school year. And then you were led into some other thing. What did you learn working with young people in that element and dealing with the Crossing students on a daily basis?
Moving back here, you could really see God's hand move.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of amazing because previous to moving back home, I mean, I was just teaching every day. Moving back here, you know, we were given that opportunity with Frankfort Schools. And then I got a phone call from the Crossing, offered me that opportunity, which I think was led by God. And then immediately jumping into the trustee's job. And every step of the way, when I was working at the middle school, you're working with kids that have emotional disabilities, kids that are struggling. And then when I went to the Crossing, you're working with high school students that are basically your same middle school students and trying to mentor them and guide them. And the really cool thing about the Crossing going to workforce development is they're really focused on job training. So it was a great opportunity coming in that year to really understand how job training works at our state level, even working with youth. And they were trying to revolutionize that within the year that I was there. And they increased everybody a full day curriculum the year that I was there, focusing the other half of their day on job training instead of just saying we're going half day.
Right.
Which was a change that year with me. And they went under a lot of changes in that year with me, including the board and all of those kinds of things. So it was an exciting opportunity to see young people getting engaged in our community in workforce, whether it's a job at McDonald's. Mm. I mean, whether it's a job, you know, working on a work team at NHK where we had a work team, whether it's working with the Parks Department where we had a work team. Doing the business development classes. I mean, we did a lot of stuff in that year that was a blessing for those kids to be able to get plugged into workforce in our community and really start to learn skills they're missing. And that's what I see in my job now. People are missing the professional skills and soft skills. And there's a difference between the two.
Yep.
And they're really missing those. So how do you start to develop those in people that have even gone an extended period of time without those? So it's great to get those into the hands of kids that are struggling in life situations, so that they can really have an opportunity to flip the switch when they're out of school.
You know, you bring up a good point. You know, I was talking to Dr. Snyder the other day. She was on the E-Factor a few weeks ago, and she just opened up the 51 West Event Center, beautiful facility. You were at our casino night the other night. You got to see it firsthand. We were talking a little bit about, you know, the old days of finishing schools and the debutantes that were being brought out of that. And we kind of laugh at that today. But wow, I think that's a big element that's missing in our society and our culture today, is the refining of one's character. And maybe I shouldn't use the word character. Maybe it's the refining of one's the societal and social element of their life, okay, and how to deal with people, how to communicate, how to relate, how to be a good team player. And our culture, that's a challenge right now. Would you not agree?
Oh, I agree. Like socially, I mean, kids are playing video games more.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing more things of talking through a headset or a cell phone or Facebook live video than they are actually engaging and talking to people like we are today.
Mm.
They're losing that. And
that eye-to-eye contact.
That eye-to-eye contact, but also that oral,
yeah,
talking to somebody. Speeches in school, they don't really do that. No. When you go to college, that was the place that I wrote a speech, and needing to do a speech class, and that was kind of a shock to me, getting up in front of people, having to write a paper and talk to somebody. I didn't really do a lot of that. So even that oral communication of learning how to talk to somebody is difficult, if you're not doing it over a cell phone or a headset on a video game. And then they're not in ways that are engaging in a structured environment. They're more of a fun, socialistic than it is to have an educational conversation about something.
Right. So, entertainment.
Yes.
I mean, it's become entertainment. There's nothing wrong with entertainment. That's one of the E's that we believe are important in a community is entertainment. But entertainment also is about interaction and having that opportunity to network and get together with folks like we did the other night at the casino night. It was a fun night, just being able to talk and communicate and share with people. And we're going to do more of those things with Frankfort Main Street and the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce. We appreciate that partnership there. You're listening to the E Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce in Frankfort, Indiana. We are talking with Kevin Evans. He is the director of Center Township here in Frankfort. Before we start talking a little bit about your current role in the community, Kevin, I want to go back to culture for a little bit. And what has been the biggest changes, I mean, besides the engagement of the human contact? What are some of the other cultural changes that you have seen? You're a young man. I mean, you're in your 20s. But what are some of the cultural changes that you've seen since you left Frankfort, for instance, for granted?
So I'll compare it to Jeffersonville, because I think Jeffersonville right now, if you look at them, they're doing economic expansion. We bought a house for $119,000, bought a house in Jeffersonville, and it's down by the river. And the area that we bought it, I would say, is probably similar to our west side where Jimmy John's is. Yeah. You know, you've got just
the industrial
just
part.
Jimmy John's.
Yeah.
But there's a housing subdivision that was built, and they did so much expansion in that area of bringing in housing and the Jimmy John's and the parks and different things that's really built that whole area into a community. Even though there's a whole city of Jeffersonville, it seems like its own community there right off the interstate. But that's kind of what I've seen since I've come back home. It's very exciting to see an investor building an apartment building. It's in a private-public partnership even, doing those things. A park that's going to be built that has splash pads and amenities for kids and the opportunities to have people in your community have a connectiveness, no matter their socioeconomic background or their race. Being able to have them all congregate in one area and act like a community. It's exciting to think about the opportunity of improving our west side where, you know, you could have a project home run or you're even just cleaning up that area by getting the land in friendly hands and cleaning up those areas. So it's exciting to think about those things. It's exciting to see the Jimmy John's and the buildings like that being built on our west side. There are things that I've seen too, where we've just had the opportunity to have more people connect. And I think that's the culture that I would like to see in our community even increase is the collaboration. The effect that collaboration has on our entire community from the faith-based standpoint and the community organization standpoint and in our leadership standpoint. And I will say I've never seen better leaders in office in our community than what exists right now. And the level of collaboration that exists between all of our community organizations and the leaders that are in place right now. So it's just an encouraging time that kind of makes you feel very spirited about what's happening in our community.
One of the reasons that we've done this radio program is just what you're saying, because we see that explosion, another E, but we do see that in our community, especially in the last few years, of the dynamic of being more engaged and more connected with the folks in, and not just siloed or territorial. We still have some of that. Those are things that we're still working on. There's plenty of challenges. You know that, and we're going to start talking about that right now. As we move into this center township role that you have, and we start talking about some of the difficulties and the challenges that we face in our community. And of course, one of those issues is the opioid use and the drug use that you know all too well about as far as a personal level with family. But Kevin, let's talk a little bit about what Center Township and maybe the partnerships that you have been able to connect with have been doing in our community about such an issue. That's not just Frankfort or Clinton County. This is a nationwide and maybe even a global issue, but certainly it is in the Midwest and especially in Clinton County.
Yeah, I would say we just got back from Atlanta a couple weeks ago. Where we had a team of 8 people go representing city, county, community organizations, and then, of course, Center Township covered those registration fees for all of those individuals. But they paid for their own travel and things out of their budgets. And it was so cool to see those individuals go and really start opening up those communication lines of where are we leading ourselves as a community related to opiates and heroin. And we just finished up our follow-up meeting from that 2 days ago. And that conversation led to, we're going to have community leaders on committees. So there'll be 3 separate committees. One of them is going to be enforcement. One of them is going to be prevention. And one of them is going to be treatment. But they're all going to have committee chairs and then organizations that fit under there. And we want people related to hospitals. We want people related to our law enforcement officers and our EMS leaders, community organizations, faith leaders, and I think the workforce development and industry leaders. Mm-hmm. And that's the exciting thing about that group is they're all about collaboration, pulling in as many people as possible, and then building these goals and objectives that can be placed out to community individuals, recognized as the official plan of Clinton County, the city of Frankfort, and Center Township. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that plan would hit our county leaders' hands, our city leaders' hands, and obviously our township board's hands to approve and recognize for the first time that we officially have a plan in our community, including all of our key stakeholders.
Well, that seems to be the biggest, you know, as far as naysayers are concerned, they're always, you know, blaming, you know, everyone. What cracks me up is there's so many people that will blame everyone except the user, or they will blame everyone except the one that's making the choice to do that. And I understand the emotion behind that. It's a family member that has just OD'd. It's a family member that's, as a minister, I've also, you know, just last year officiated, I had 17 funerals, and six of them either were overdose or suicide. So, you know, and related, many of them related, drug related. So, you know, I understand the hurt and the pain. It is a terrible thing. But until we start recognizing, and I think I'll go back to the word that you used earlier, the accountability factor in all of this. And, you know, we have a problem. So now you're saying that we can have a plan. And what will that plan look like? It's to talk to those naysayers, to those folks who are saying, oh, it, you know, they want to blame everybody, but necessarily the first person that's using the drugs. What say you regarding that?
We've invited the public out to these key stakeholder conversations that we're holding with the United Way. And in those key stakeholder conversations, it's what is the community wanting to ask questions about to these leaders? And those are going to be pretty much the leaders that are serving in these communities, along with probably 30 others. So they've had the opportunity to tell the key stakeholders what they think. So we already know kind of what the community is saying. Data is an issue. Mm-hmm. Reporting out is an issue. The community recognizes this is a public health issue. But do our leaders recognize that this is a public health issue? And I think they do. Mm-hmm. And Rodney One is a huge proponent of that. And going back to the emotion of this issue, there are even community leaders that have personal ties to this. Mm-hmm. And I just found that out a couple of days ago as well. So even some of those that have the professional view, and we would think doesn't probably have anybody they know related to that, have a very close tie in their family.
Yeah.
The same as me. I mean, I've had a cousin that lost her child to CPS and had to work that mm-hmm. back, and her boyfriend died in an apartment on Main Street due to an opiate overdose. And
yeah, we buried a sister-in-law a few years ago, you know, died of an overdose, being at a party scenario, but not really there to party, was there more to get the drug, the opioid that she had, the back surgery, and had got hooked on all of this. And it led into even a lifestyle that changed her whole, well, it really changed her life. And of course it led to her death. And it's very, I mean, so yeah, I think all of us are connected in some way or another. And of course it go back to the plan. And I really like the idea of trying to bring multiple folks and multiple organizations and multiple people whatever background they are to the table to talk about this.
Yeah. And my response to the naysayers is that the Bible instructs us to pray for our leaders. Mm-hmm. And I think believing in our leaders and that God has a direction for everything. And I'm constantly praying for the leaders that are in our community, mm-hmm. Including myself. Mm-hmm. And believing that this plan is something that can pull our community together. It's not something that the key stakeholders are saying, you know, we're doing this and we're not listening to this sector over here. We're listening to the community, and that's why this plan is coming. Mm. And the increased collaboration that has come from working on this plan will be seen. You will have public health talking to law enforcement. You will have the schools talking with DCS. You'll have DCS talking over here with faith leaders and trying to build programs in our community that will help the individuals, but also help the problems in our community, the crime, the property crime, the arrests. I mean, there's tons of things that are affected, the amount of kids that go to foster care. So there's tons of areas that are affected that the taxpayer funds go into even, mm-hmm. That all these taxpayers are really affected by. But there's also things that taxpayers aren't affected by, which are those family situations that really need mentors to get in there and work with them. And if you have somebody that doesn't want help, it's going to be hard to give them help.
Right.
But if you have somebody that does want help, how do we get that to them? Because right now we're not very successful at always accomplishing that. And I was encouraged by our mayor, our police chief, and our sheriff going to the JCAP program. I had a doctor's appointment that day, or I would have loved to have gone. But they went and talked with the Attorney General, who was in Lafayette, doing a program on that, and that would be a chemical assisted program in our jail for people who are getting, you know, in there and can get help at that point. So it's encouraging to see a lot of these things going on. Mm-hmm. And they've been more vocal over the last year. Healthy communities getting their Narcan increases. The police tracking their policy on overdoses and crime scenes. The police having a drug take-back day. The schools looking at doing curriculum. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these things are happening now over the last year as we've been having these conversations. United Way has an AmeriCorps worker who's mm-hmm. out talking to the community.
Yeah.
The drug plan is coming. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of positive steps on the opiate heroin issue that we're coming to a point where it's just the community developing the plan and continually updating that plan with our new goals and objectives once we meet them. And they need to be attainable goals. And there's great people working on it. So we're doing great things there.
Well, no doubt you are. And I think that, again, it comes back down to engagement and being willing to roll up your sleeves. You know, a great mentor of mine, an older Presbyterian minister back in the day, this was back in the 70s, shared with me a long time ago that, Shan, always remember that ministry is messy. Sometimes we forget that. You know, sometimes we forget that the day-to-day, the occupation, whatever career we choose, sometimes there's going to be days, not all the time, but there are days that we have to roll up our sleeves and realize that these are issues that we got to get down and dirty about. And leadership, you have to understand that as well. And I think folks need to recognize and understand that leadership is getting down and dirty, and they're getting involved in the nitty-gritty of all of this. And I think that that's important to us to recognize in our community and as a culture that it's going to take more than just one group, one organization, one person. It's going to take all of us moving in step to help with this epidemic. And I use the word epidemic because maybe just for a lack of a better term, but it just seems like there's a lot of that. Drug issues are all around us, and it seems like they're related to a lot of other issues. So I think epidemic may not be such a wrong term to utilize, but hopefully and prayerfully, with the help of folks like you and leadership in our community, we can at least start moving in down a direction. Really, it comes back down to the attitude and the mind and how we can help turn and see a transformation in the way people think.
And how do we use our resources that we currently have to not add additional burdens to the taxpayer, but use our existing functions of government to increase more effectiveness? So even like drug courts, how do those look to do deferments? Does that increase our taxpayer funds, or do drug courts offer us a way to do other things to pull in extra funds to be able to impact people from a treatment standpoint? Mm-hmm. The JCAP program in our jail, there's grant funds available now. Met with Mary Beth Bonaventura, who works for the Attorney General's office. She's special counsel to him in Atlanta, and sat and had breakfast with her. And she talked to me about grants that are available right now for communities like us to access that they've offered to Boone County. Mm-hmm. So why not us accessing those funds? Going out and reaching out to different sectors to be able to see what can we do to pull things in. And we've got a very active group of people that know how to write grants and know what's available and what programs they can sustain within their current structures and their capacity to make sure they're more effective. And even the churches. How do you utilize churches to have like a Coach Kids for adults?
Right.
I mean, they're the perfect avenue to do that. So how do you even have some of those conversations? And really looking at those community resources to be more effective.
Well, absolutely. Well, Kevin, I'll tell you what, the half hour has flown by. Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your commitment. Appreciate your willingness to work in our community. Appreciate your time being so candid with us today. The E-Factor is really about encouragement and engagement. It's really about uplifting. We're not into bad news, and that's one of the reasons I brought you on here. You know, we talked about some serious issues here today, but we all have a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope, and we need to continue to think about that we can be that light and be that hope to someone. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you very much. And we have great leaders in place that are guiding us to that hope. And I hope that's something that people take away from our conversation is we have great leaders in place that are working toward that.
So. Absolutely. Kevin Evans with the Center Township. And don't forget, you may be that encouragement. You may be that hope. Go out and make it a great weekend. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.